Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 20. It's kind of a lengthy story, but I want to read it again. Let me give you a little preview. Jesus is having a great miracle ministry, feeding 5,000. And what happens is, he decides to go on another side of this sea of Galilee. I've been at that sea. It's about 7 miles wide. So it would take about 7 miles. On the way there, a great storm came. And Jesus was resting. He was sleeping in a boat. And when that storm came, the disciples got scared. And they were waking Jesus up and saying, "Don't you care, we're going to die." And Jesus says, "No, you're not going to die." And he rebukes the storm and it becomes a great calm. So this is the preview. So now he comes to the other side, and here on the other side, something crazy happens. Then he came to the other side of the sea, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. This man has supernatural strength, supernatural power. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." Demons are afraid of Jesus. Jesus brings demons torment. Demons bring people torment, but Jesus brings demons torment. Then Jesus said to him, "Come out of him, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion." Legion is a Roman equivalent of about 6,000 soldiers. So can you believe this? One man, 6,000 demons. Okay? He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged them earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding, like you saw, there near the mountain. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine," all the demons. It's kind of freaky, like a loud, many loud voices coming out of one man. Begging him, saying, "Send us out of the swine." Disciples were like, "Whoa, what is happening here?" Okay? And "Send us out into the swine that we may enter them." And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000 of pigs, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had legion sitting in the clothes. Remember, before he met Jesus, he was naked. Okay? And now he's clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Instead of worshiping Jesus for the great miracle that he has done, they're fearful. And some of you might be fearful of demons. And as a Christian, you don't have to be. And I'll show you today why not. Okay? And those who saw it told them what had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead him to depart from their region. Imagine this. Instead of inviting him and saying, "Hey, come Jesus and heal more of our demon-possessed. Heal more of our people who are struggling." Guess what they do? They say, "Leave." So really, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee for just one person. And not a good person. Demon-possessed person. Okay, so if you're thinking today, "Does Jesus care for me? Does he know me? I've done so much wrong. Maybe I've done some evil. Maybe I've done something I'm not proud of. Does he care for me? Listen, he went for one man who was so evil. He was freaking out the whole country of Gadarene. Nobody would walk by. Parents told their children about those stories about this man. Said, don't go there. Don't be like that demon-possessed man. He's crazy. Verse 17. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. He wanted to follow him. When Jesus sets you free, you don't just go and live your life. You want to follow him. You want to say, wow, what I was before, what I am now, I don't want to be the way I was. I want to follow you. That's true change. That's true repentance. That's true salvation. That's how you know that somebody has received Christ. He says, I want to follow you. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home. He says, no, you can't come. Go home. For what? I've caused my mom such shame. I've caused my friends such shame. Imagine the pain his mother felt. If nobody loved him, his mom did. His family did. Imagine that's your brother or that's your cousin or that's your son running around scaring everybody. And you try to arrest him, but he keeps breaking the chains. And it's not one of those little, you know, chains that they had. They had huge chains those days that they made. They weren't made in a factory. They were made by hand. And he would rip them apart. He would cut himself, yell, scare people. And Jesus says, go home. Jesus, I don't want to go home. It's too embarrassing. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what they will say about me. They will never believe what has happened to me. A lot of us, we want to go somewhere else and tell everybody, some people we don't know about Jesus and what he has done for us. But from this story, we see that Jesus says this. I want you not go to maybe Africa right away and tell people what Jesus has done to you. Go to your own family. Go to your own friends and tell them of the good and wonderful works of God and what he has done in your life. Amen? And Jesus says, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Shame is from the devil. And God wants you to be the light to your family, to your friends, to your community. He wants you to go back where you were. They knew you differently. But now, since Jesus came into your life, now that he has come and transformed you, set you free, he wants to show you off. So others will see and say, whoa, I remember him. I remember her. I remember what he used to say, how he used to behave himself, how he was explosive, angry all the time. But when Jesus touched him, now he's different. I remember how proud he was. I remember how possessed he was, how drug addicted he was, alcohol addicted he was. But now look what the Lord has done. God wants to send you back. Jesus wants to send you back to your home place so you can show what the Lord has done. Go to your friends and tell them great things the Lord had done for you. And now, and how he had compassion on you. I am so amazed how Jesus cares for one person. He went into the boat and left. He came just for one person. And if you are wondering, does God love me? If you're wondering, does God care for me? He wants you to hear this. That he would do it. And like I said, this wasn't a good person. This was a person who had so many demons in him. And Jesus cared. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's go into this, who are demons? Have you ever wondered who are demons? Alright. Demons are evil spirits. I'm going to teach a little bit. That oppose God and they oppose sons of God. Okay? Demons are spiritual beings without physical form. Okay? The difference between fallen angels and demons is that fallen angels have spiritual bodies. Demons have no bodies. That's why they seek to possess a body. Okay? They're spiritual beings without physical form. They're evil. Their choice dwelling place is human body. But rather than end up this body, sometimes they will occupy animals. Just as we see, they entered into pigs. They want to have a body. Okay? Where is the origin of demons? Bible doesn't really tell us what's the origin of demons. But there's two perceptions, two understandings. And like I said, they're not in the Bible, so don't quote me on that. One is that they're fallen angels. Okay, they're just fallen angels, demons. Another perception is this, that there was a pre-Adamic race, pre-Adam and Eve race, that Bible doesn't tell us about, that has fallen and fell under punishment of God. And that those are the demons. Okay, they pledged their allegiance to Satan. That's one thing we do know for sure. Okay, now, although demons don't have a body, they display all normal marks of personality. Although demons don't have a body, they display personality. Number one, they display will. Two, emotions. Three, intellect. Four, self-awareness. Five, ability to speak. Six, ability to recognize. Okay? Guys, can we put Matthew 12:44? They show will. They exercise will. Then he said, the demon possessed man, this is actually the demon speaking. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. I will. Demons have a will. Okay? Two, demons have emotions. James 2:19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even demons believe and tremble. Demons tremble. That's an emotion. That's fear. They cause fear, and when they see Jesus, they begin to tremble. Okay? So, third thing, demons have intellect. Mark 1:24. Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So they have knowledge, they have intellect, okay? They have ability to speak. In this Mark chapter 5, he says, I implore you by God that you do not torment me, okay? They have ability to recognize, I know who you are. And they have some knowledge of future, okay? Why have you come to torment us before our time, right? So demons have these abilities. Now, demons have an angel that leads them. Okay? In the Bible, Jesus was accused of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Who is Beelzebub? Beelzebub is the leader of demons. And Jesus said, no, I'm not casting out Satan with Satan. If Satan's kingdom is divided, how can it stand? So, what does the word Beelzebub means in Hebrew? In Hebrew, that word means prince of flies. Okay? Prince of flies. So, if he's prince of flies, then we have a little clue of what demons are. Demons are like flies. Okay? Now, it's not in the Bible, but it does say that one fly ruins the whole perfume. One demon can ruin the whole house, the whole body. Okay? So if you were to think about demons, and this is why you shouldn't be afraid of them, and that's why Jesus said he healed the sick and cast out demons. Jesus doesn't make like a distinction. He healed the sick, and then he did something super supernatural. He healed demons. No, Jesus healed the sick and cast out demons. So what demons are, just, and this is what I believe they are, and I want you to think about it. You know how our body gets attacked by viruses? How our body gets attacked by germs? Cancerous cell? Well, those are physical things that attack our body and try to destroy it. Guess what? Your spirit gets attacked as well. It gets attacked by demons. That's why Jesus doesn't distinguish, because he did physical and he did spiritual healing. Physical healing was he healed the sick, and spiritual healing, he cast out demons. Okay? So that's why you shouldn't be scared of demons. Now, demons are like little chihuahua, maybe, barking dog. They're loud, they're scary, they bring fear. Like this man brought fear. But guess what? They can't stand to the name of Jesus. He bows down, he hates Jesus, but yet he bows down and worships him. Okay? So I want you to understand this, that demons are like flies. Have you ever seen a movie when demons come out or come in into a man? What do they portray it as? Flies coming in, like bees. And then they destroy the person. Where do they get that? Where did that idea come from? It's in horror movies, right? People who write these movies, who produce these movies, sometimes have a bigger connection with the spiritual world than we Christians. You know, Bible forbids us Christians to go into that spiritual realm and dig in there. Bible says don't do that. Okay? But some people don't obey Bible. So they go in and they get the knowledge from demons. They get this demonic wisdom, Bible says. Demonic doctrines. And that then they portray it and they put it in movies. And guess what? We're all watching like, our society is so demonized right now. Everybody is so demonized. Demon could walk by and you'd be like, I saw that on TV. Not a big deal. Okay? Demons are tricky. And they don't all have the same abilities. Let me tell you what they do. Some are very evil. Others are perverse. Some are weak and others are strong. Some are smart and others are dumb, stupid. How do I know this? In the Bible, Jesus told a story. He says, when a demon leaves a man, he goes into and I'll read it to you. I got that scripture. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Now, you probably won't hear this preached in any church in Sioux Falls. So, I hope I'm taking a bold step here. I've been avoiding this subject for a while. I wish I could skip it, but since we honor the scripture, I have to. Okay, is that okay? All right, and I want you guys to be on guard. I don't want your defenses to be down, thinking, it's just this world. No, there is another world. Bible says we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, hosts of wickedness under the heaven. Okay, that's why Bible says put on what? The whole armor of God, so you may be able to withstand these attacks. Demons are real. They attack families. They attack people. And you got to be able to stand. Raise up the shield and say, no, you're not coming to my home. You're not coming to this soul, to this heart. This belongs to Jesus. He's the Lord. This house is filled. This house is filled. I'm talking about your body. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So watch this. When a demon goes out, he goes into dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. House means the body of a person he left, which it came from. And when he comes, he finds it empty and swept. You know, when demons are in your house is in disorder. It's crazy. Have you ever been in a teenager's room? It's worse than that. So he comes. See, when demon is absent, what happens to the person? It gets clean. Gets restored. Right? Things go into its place. But when he comes and finds it empty and swept and put in order, there's order in your life. When you have a lot of disorder in your life, you got to check yourself. Okay? Then watch this. Then he goes out and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than him. Now, so what do we see? We see that lesser demon comes in. He sees the house is good, but nobody's living there. No Holy Spirit. See, in your house, you can have God. Your house were never supposed to be empty. Your body was never, your mind was never supposed to be empty. It either gets filled with the Holy Spirit or with a demon spirit. Okay? So he goes back and says, there's nobody here. It looks clean now. The man just got everything in order. A lot of times, people come to church, their life changes, God begins to change their life, but as soon as things get better, guess what they do? They say, Lord, I know you want to be in my house. I know you're knocking at the door, but guess what? I don't need you right now. Everything is good now. You know, my finances are in order. I got a job now. Everything is cool. Demon comes back and sees, wow, I can't believe this. This house is empty. Talking about your body. So he goes, okay. See, demons understand that one of them could be cast out easily, but seven more, it's going to be way harder. So he goes out and takes seven evil spirits more than him. So see, there's categories. There's categories. And sometimes you're wondering, why is my life so out of order? Why can't I control my emotion? Why do I explode with anger? Why do I act violently? 98% of the time I'm a good person. But those 2%, I can't recognize myself. What is going on with me? Why do I feel sometimes like I'm crazy? Or I'm gonna lose my mind? How many of you are getting freaked out? I didn't even start with personal stories, so... See, when you dealt with this, you understand that it's not scary. They can't do nothing. They don't have a body. What can they do? They're spirits. They can't touch you. It's in your mind. They can scare you to run. Okay? But you shouldn't be afraid of it. I had a man who came a few months ago. LaVar actually invited him. And he said in his house, and he wasn't kidding. He said a door would open at 5 o'clock. At his house, either in the morning or at night, I forgot, at 5 o'clock. You know what I'm talking about. And there would be a cold demon standing there. They wouldn't open the door. Something would open the door and just stand there. And he's like, we're trying to cast out. We're trying to do Hail Marys. And we're trying to do all kinds of things. You know, bring holy water and sprinkle it. There's crazy things happening. Some of you are like, well, we don't see demons anymore. We don't. You know why? Because they're in psychiatric wards. The people who are possessed are usually not running free. That's why we don't see them. Or you think we don't have people who are possessed by demons? Our nation is the nation that's taking the most pills in the whole world. We're taking Prozacs. We're taking all kinds of crap in our body just to calm ourselves down. You think we don't got stuff going on? We do. We just found a way to suppress it. We numb people and they're just walking like zombies. We do. Come on. And if you take away their pills, guess what? You'll start seeing a lot of acting out. So don't be thinking, okay, it doesn't happen, it's not real, it's just a physical condition. Yes, sometimes it is physical condition. Like epilepsy could be a physical condition when you fall or you got into a car accident, a brain could be damaged. So sometimes it is. But other times you don't know what's happening. There's voices on the inside talking to you. You hear voices, you hear things, you think somebody's following you. You have all these crazy phobias. You have all these crazy sicknesses. And you don't know what's going on with me. Doctors can't even tell you what's wrong with you. But you're in pain. No, demons did not disappear when Jesus, resurrected. No, they're still here. And they're watching people. And they're trying to get in. And they're trying to mess up your life. You know, God gave us natural abilities for a body to defend itself, right? Skin, immune system, white blood cells. You as a person, God has given you spiritual ability to defend your spirit. You know what they are? It's simple. Love, joy, and peace. When you're walking in love, joy, and peace, demons cannot break through your defenses. What's opposite of love? Hate. When you walk in hate, guess what, demons? That's perfect, perfect place for them to come in. When you walk, what's opposite of joy? Despair, depression. When you walk in depression, guess what? That's an easy way for them to slip in. What's opposite of peace? War, stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of... Guess what they do? They love to wait for moments. They look, listen to this. They look for a moment of weakness and try to come in and ruin your life, my life. Let me tell you something that I've discovered in many years of ministry and actually ministering to people who have been possessed. Is that demons don't come in, the evil ones don't come in right away. People close the gate for them. It's rare that evil ones come in to the person. It's usually the lesser demons that come in. It's that spirit that you're okay with. It's that lust spirit that you say, not a big deal. And you say, okay, I can open a door to this one. See, a lesser one comes in. Jesus said that. It's easy to cast out a lesser one, right? But then, what he does, he doesn't want to stay there himself, or he's scared that it would be easy for you to rebuke him and have him leave out of your life. So what he does, he goes get more. So a person starts with a little sex addiction, with a little pornography, and then it just escalates to the point they can't control it. They go on binges for 12, 16 hours a day. Then they start acting it out. Starts with a little bit of hate. And then before you know it, you're ready to kill somebody. Heard of a family, a husband murdered his wife, choked his kids. How do you do that? And he was a good husband. How do you do that? What makes a person be a murderer? People who knew him says he can't be him. What makes him do it? There's a lot in this world going on that we try to kind of, because we're scared of this stuff. Instead of helping people, we're kind of, especially the church, we're like, just give him a little bit of gospel and just collect the offering and let him leave. I love you guys. And I want you to be free. And Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. That's the first thing he said. You know the first miracle that Jesus did in the synagogue? When he started preaching, demon-possessed man started acting out. And he set him free. Yeah, I know it's uncomfortable because we don't want these things happening in our church. We don't want, you know, people being free like that. Demons like to roam like bees in a hive. They're like flies. They're like gangs, you know, come together and attack. They're like mobs, okay? They come like that because by themselves, they're weak. Like fly by themselves. Even a bee by itself is weak. But when it comes in numbers, killer bees, you know, they destroy lives. Okay. Can you handle any more? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do demons come in?